Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
On your home for the best Ravens coverage.
What time is it?
It's time for News from the Nest with Vinny and Haney. 105.7 The Fan.
Yeah, we got to stop and try to work all your best plays, you know. Sometimes you think you can run it in, try to run it in. Doesn't work. Sometimes you try to pass it in. You know, we just didn't do a good job in the red zone, is the bottom line. I mean, you know, get down there and kick, what, 4 field goals? Those are big trips down there, and obviously touchdowns are what you're looking for. And that's something we have to improve at going forward. That's really important for us.
Vinny and Haney back here on 105.7 The Fan. Cordell Woodland in for Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Quick Draw McGraw still here with me. News from the Nest, getting you some news from the Nest, some sound from yesterday's loss. You heard John Harbaugh there talking about the Ravens' red zone struggles. The Ravens 2-for-5 in the red zone yesterday, very field goal heavy. And some of it, I think, is play calling. Some of it is not executing, missed passes, dropped touchdowns. It's a combination of everything, Vinny. And we were talking to Todd earlier, and I asked Todd, what did he think the biggest thing was? And I agree with him. It's a combination of everything.
Yeah, I agree. I agree wholeheartedly, because you can't just point it on one thing, you know, that it was this, you know, because Robinson had a drop pass. Lamar made a hell of a play on that one. Mm-hmm. You know, it was a great throw, you know, but you gotta execute those plays. I just think, like, listen to Harv's there. He's saying we gave that one away. You know, I mean, the game could have been over at half.
Yeah.
You know, it should have been a 17-3 halftime game. And then you come out in the third quarter, you know, and they went three and out twice, and you had the ball, what, 10 minutes in the third quarter. Game's over.
Yeah.
You know, because you're probably up like 20-3 or something, and it's over. You know, I mean, I'm sure that's what Harv's is super frustrated about. They just – you know, they let him back in it, and the Ravens, he's probably going to say, I didn't have him ready to play, you know. And did the 25 minutes affect them at all? No, because they had a hell of a first quarter.
Right.
They just didn't finish.
Let's hear more from John Harbaugh as he talks about his fourth quarter defense, which gave up 18 points in that fourth quarter.
Well, generally, Cliff, they completed some big passes on us, you know, so that's what it boils down to. They had to. They got some chunk passes and got down the field. That's why I say hats off to them. You know, they did a good job.
Yeah, I mean, the Jaguars were hitting, especially on that game-winning drive. The play calling was great. The Jaguars had taken what the Ravens had given them, and they took everything there and then some, even with the two-point conversion to get the win.
I think the biggest thing was the execution was really good. You know, for Jacksonville. I mean, because they get the ball 2nd and 10 on their own 25 with a minute 59. And he gets sacked for minus 11.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Calais gets a sack, number 99. And how about it, the game could have been over if the Ravens recovered that fumble.
Yeah.
You know, so then you got 3rd and 21. And then he completes it, you know, to Kirk for 16 yards. And then, you know, then you're sitting 4th and 5. They just played bend but not break, you know, which I guess they didn't want to give up the big play, which 3rd and 21, no, you're going to drop 8 probably. And then they short left to Jones for 10. Guess who was covering? Stevens.
Yeah.
You know, and then the short middle, the one to Kirk for 17 yards, that was a killer too. And then Lawrence short right to Zay Jones for 8. Marcus Peters was playing off. I mean, that was just a gimme.
Yeah.
You know, and I heard somebody say that, you know, you got to try to keep them in the field, you know, because they didn't have the timeouts, you know, instead of giving them 10 yards and boom. You know, I mean, it takes 3-4 seconds and you're picking up 10 yards.
It looked like Peters was a little frustrated with some of the play calls late in
the
game, too.
I think he wanted to play some man coverage. Yeah. I don't know if they trusted him. And then they get the false start penalty. You know, they had second and two, so now you're second and seven. And then they get 1 yard, so you're in third down again, third and long again. And then that's when he hit Zay Jones for 29 yards, you know, with Stevens
right.
again.
Zay Jones was a thorn in their side yesterday, to say the least.
Definitely. I mean, a really good route runner.
Let's switch sides. Let's go to hear some audio from Lamar Jackson, who was not happy after the loss yesterday. Let's hear it from Lamar as he talks about the team not clicking in the red zone.
I don't know. You seen it, I'm seeing it, but I'm out there. I'm trying to make it happen. You just not clicking in the red zone, you know. That's just that.
Not clicking at all. And you hear him, he's trying to make it happen. You know, he talked about how they're clicking in practice. And when they get to the game, it's not working. It's got to be frustrating to see things, to see that you can hit, you know, hit some of these plays in practice, but you get in the game, especially in crucial moments, you can't hit them in the game, and you end up leaving with three over and over until the end of the game where it ends up biting you.
Yeah, you know, probably going against scout team guys. It's
yeah, exactly.
Maybe what you got to do on that Friday, you know, when you do red zone stuff, Friday's practice usually red zone section. Maybe you got to go ones on ones. So it's good on good, you know. So the receiver's got to be able to run good routes to be able to get open and stuff.
Let's hear more from Lamar Jackson. The Ravens, the mantra for them this year has been blowing leads. They've blown three fourth quarter leads when they've led by double digits. And Lamar talked about how they can avoid these collapses.
Shoot. Just try to score more points. Try to score more points early, if anything. Try not to miss them opportunities. There's a few opportunities out there.
And they all did. From Lamar overshooting guys, not being able to put the ball on the money in some wide open situations, to receivers not making plays for him, to sometimes I think his coaches are letting him down with some of the play calls that they have out there. But it's a combination of it all. And right now, I think this offense, just like how I kind of felt at the start of the year where they blew those losses to Buffalo and Miami, I felt like a lot of it was the offense not being able to carry their part of the load, and it ends up too much on the defense's plate. And I think that's what it was today. When you get that many opportunities in the red zone and you don't convert, then your defense ends up being the ones that have to pay for it on the back end.
Yeah, and the other thing, you know, how the offense can help is, you know, back in 19, I mean, the Ravens were the boringest team to watch in the fourth quarter. Because if you got a lead, might as well change the chip, because it was over. They were just going to run 10 minutes on the clock and, you know, and make first down. They had the ball 4 minutes and 37 seconds. And, you know, the one that Gus Bus fumbles, you know, I mean, he gets four. It's second and six, you know, with not much time left. What, 2 minutes left or something like that? I mean, so, I mean, he makes a first down, the game's over. And, you know, you're sitting second and six. So, I mean, that's what playing team football is, you know, in the last 5 minutes of the game, I'll bet you the Ravens made more mistakes in that last 5 minutes than they did the whole game, starting with Duvernay.
No doubt.
Duvernay, then it's Gus Bus. Mm-hmm. You know, then, you know, your defense, they do a hell of a job, you know, just holding them to a field goal. You know, and then you have some bust plays by the defense. You know, so yeah, there was enough bad stuff to go around, you know, in that 5 minutes for everybody.
Let's hear one more from Lamar Jackson. Lamar's last time that he played in Jacksonville was in college. He actually lost that game as well. Lamar, how do you feel about losing again in Jacksonville?
Yeah, they told me college, and I lost again. So, f*** this.
How does that make you feel?
How would you feel if you lose? Exactly, that's how I'm feeling. I don't like losing. Don't nobody should like losing, you know, but it is what it is.
That's the humanistic part of this, right? Because I think we live in this world where people expect some of these guys to take a tough loss and do it with a smile on their face, I guess because they're paid a lot of money, more money than we're making, and people expect that they're supposed to just deal with it and go home to their nice houses and their fancy cars, and life is good for them. This doesn't matter. But obviously, that's not the case. And you hear Lamar Jackson right there. He's clearly frustrated, to say the least.
Well, the thing about it is, I mean, he's got to be in there, what, like 15 minutes right after the game. So, I mean,
yeah, it's fresh.
You're just walking in and then, you know, Harbs talks to you or whatever, you know, and you're frustrated. And then you got to go right there and talk. Yeah, I mean, look at what Brady says some of the times and some, you know, when they lose. I mean, yeah, because you put so much into it.
Right.
You know, for a week you're practicing, you're prepping and all those things. And then you lose a two-pointer. You know, right at the end. Oh, so yeah, it's, you know, it's, you don't sleep that night. Let me just say that.
I believe it. Vinny and Haney right here on 105.7 The Fan. Coming up next, we'll try to get you some money, a little buy or sell action. We'll check the stock market. Also get Quick Draw McGraw on the mic to see what's going on in the world of sports. That's next here on The Fan.
Are you buying?
Great cash, homie.
Or are you selling?
I'm not going to buy into that crap.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney back here on 105.7 The Fan. Cordell Woodland in for Bob, still with Vinny Serrato. Quick Draw McGraw behind the glass. Buy or sell, Vinny, what's the stock market looking like?
Well, it's down a little bit. It says U.S. stocks pulled back and oil prices slid as widespread protests across China against the country's zero COVID policy sparked worries among investors about the outlook for the world's second largest economy. The Dow is down 260. The S&P is down 34. NASDAQ is down 88. DraftKings down 78 cents. And Under Armour is down 12 cents. So I guess China worries.
Nowhere to go but up. Maybe.
That's right.
I've said that a lot this year. We'll start in the NBA here. Giannis, the Greek freak, he's been taking a beating this year. This goes back last week, early last week, the week prior to that, playing against Philly, playing against Portland. He took a lot of hard fouls. One from Joel Embiid was called a flagrant. Another one in that Portland game, a hard foul, just called a regular foul, borderline flagrant. And for years, this is a guy who's gotten into the paint, gotten to the rim at will, uses his size to his advantage. Defenses, they got to adjust, right? They got to bully him. They got to be physical in return. Well, his coach, Mike Budenholzer, he's not pleased. Said the league needs to review the tape, look at some of these hits that he's taking, and step in and protect him, essentially. Cordell, are you buying or selling what Coach Bud has to say here?
I mean, I'll buy it, but I don't think it's going to happen. You've seen the NBA do this a lot with these bigger players who are dominant. Think about back when Shaq was in the league. They didn't care about Shaq getting hacked all over the place. They look at it like you're a big guy. You can take it. Same with LeBron. LeBron has had to struggle for fouls early in his career, too, because he plays this aggressive style of play that the refs look at it like, hey, you're the one that's forcing the contact to happen. You're a big guy. You're the biggest guy on the floor. You can take it. I think they look at Giannis the exact same way. I agree with Coach, but I don't think he's going to get what he's asking for.
Well, in college football, that highly anticipated showdown between Michigan and Ohio State resulted in a surprising blowout win for the Wolverines. Main draw here, of course, number 2 versus number 3. The loser likely gets booted from the college football playoff top 4. No surprise, Big Ten Commissioner Kevin Warren, he thinks both teams still deserve a spot in the top 4. Why wouldn't he? It's two teams from his conference. His quote here says, put even the rankings to the side. If you ask yourself, who are the teams that are better than these two in football right now? Open-ended question there. But Vinny, buy or sell, Ohio State still deserves a spot among the top 4.
I'm going to sell it. It all depends on USC. If SC beats, who are they playing, Oregon? Are they playing Oregon? No, Utah. They're playing Utah again, and Utah beat them the last time, you know, by 2 points on a 2-point conversion. If USC wins, USC's in. And if USC loses, then I can see Ohio State going in because they would be, to me, Ohio State with a 1 loss is better than Alabama with 2 losses.
We'll stick in college football here. Nebraska, Cordell, your favorite team. You're rolling your eyes already.
Yeah.
A lot of speculation, but they finally have their new coach, Matt Rhule. He's going back to the college ranks to take that job. Not the most attractive one on paper, but I guess if you are able to turn Nebraska around, you'll be regarded as a hero forever. And he certainly has a good track record at the college level. After taking over Temple and Baylor, both turned both of them into winning programs within 3 years. And we're not talking just barely above 500 here. We're talking pretty significant seasons, 11-2, 11-3, something like that. So I'll ask you, buy or sell, he does the same thing at Nebraska 3 years, within 3 years, winning program.
I'm going to sell it. I mean, I have no reason to think that things in Nebraska are going to change anytime soon. Nebraska's got to pick it up in the recruiting. They're basically buried in the Big Ten right now in terms of
reputation.
I'm so pissed off that I could barely speak right now. Nebraska's struggling to fight their way up in the Big Ten. These young guys don't care about what Nebraska used to be in the early 90s and the late 80s. They weren't even alive to really see it at the time. Matt Rhule, I mean, we could say the same thing for Scott Frost and what he did at the program that he was at before he came to Nebraska. That hasn't changed. It's got me wondering, where is Bo Pelini when you need him?
We'll move back to the NFL here. The Broncos' disappointing season continued yesterday, 23-10 loss to the Panthers. And once again, Russell Wilson was hot garbage, to put it lightly. 19 for 35, just 142 yards through the air. And his and the Denver offense's performance as a whole prompted defensive lineman Mike Purcell. He started barking at Wilson on the sideline, got in his face. Wilson didn't really give it back to him, but after the game said, quote, he was pissed off and just said, we've got to effing go. I agree. So me and him are on the same page. There's no animosity there at all. Vinny, are you buying or selling that quote from Wilson?
I'm selling it. I don't buy it. I think a lot of them, you know, are frustrated. When the dude's making that much money, you know, defensive players are saying, the hell, you know, what are you going to do? So I think they're frustrated with old Russ.
We'll close with this one here. A preview piece came out last week ahead of the Chiefs and Rams game. Bucky Brooks wrote this, and he made a pretty bold claim about two of the elite defensive players in that game. Quote here says, the football world will watch Chris Jones take the crown from Aaron Donald as the best defensive tackle in the game today. That's a wild one. He cites that Jones is leading all defensive tackles in sacks. He ended up adding another one in the game yesterday. And also notes that Aaron Donald, his pressure rate has significantly dropped every year since 2018. Are you buying or selling Bucky's take here?
Chris Jones is a very dominant interior defensive lineman. I think I'm going to sell it, but I will agree that right now Aaron Donald does not look locked in. And who can blame him? I mean, the Rams stink. He was on the verge of retirement before coming into this season, and here he is. I mean, he came back for the money,
right,
for sure. But right now, it's not feeling good on Sundays between 1-4 or 4-7 when he's out there getting his butt kicked for 60 minutes. They don't look good. I think Chris Jones is a very dominant guy. And he right now, you can make the case Chris Jones is the better defensive tackle. Overall, though, Aaron Donald at his peak is probably the most dominant interior lineman I've seen in a long time. Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll keep it going with the NFL talk. Eric Eldham from the NFL.com, he joins us to talk about the league as a whole next here on The Fan.
Sports on Demand, 105.7, the voice of The Fan.
Vinny and Haney back here on 105.7 The Fan. Cordell Woodland in for Bob. Still with Vinny Serrato and Quick Draw McGraw behind the glass. Loser Monday out here in Baltimore, and here to join us to talk about the Ravens' loss and the NFL as a whole, Eric Edholm from NFL.com, who joins us via the Ashley Furniture Guest Hotline. What's going on, Eric?
Everything's good, man. What's happening with you?
Not bad out here, just trying to talk people down off the ledge out here in Baltimore. It's getting real crazy after yesterday's loss to the Jaguars. And for Ravens fans, I think this is one that I'm not going to say they saw coming, but a lot of the things that we saw happen in yesterday's game, we've been seeing for a while, specifically in the red zone. This is a team that used to be dynamite in the red zone, and right now they just look like they don't even know who they are. When you watch this team when they're inside the 20, what are you seeing?
Yeah, no, obviously, you know, bogging down on those early drives, settling for field goals, you know, I mean, those things, we always say it at the time, well, you know, it's going to come back to bite you at some point. You know, obviously not having a fully healthy offensive line, fully healthy backfield, you know, the wide receiver crew, you know, there's only so many threats out there, you know, not having the full cast of tight ends, although Josh Oliver did play well yesterday and, you know, I thought stepped up, you know, a couple times as a receiver. So, it's hard to see. Obviously, you know, it's easy to sit there and, you know, nitpick with play calling and things like that. We can look at the fourth quarters and say what went wrong then, but I think you're taking the right approach in looking at the big picture too, which is, you know, shortcomings in the first and second quarters can come back to bite you late too. So it's not just a fourth quarter problem with the Ravens. They've got to be able to put teams away earlier as well. And put them in spots that make them more uncomfortable, I think. So, you know, more than just one or two plays or picking apart certain tactical approaches, I think that's probably the biggest thing right now.
Lamar was visibly upset in his post-game press conference yesterday, more upset than I've seen him maybe all season. He's won a unanimous MVP on this team with Greg Roman as his offensive coordinator. But are you starting to look at this team and wonder if maybe they have maxed out what they can get from Lamar with this current scheme, this current staff, coaching staff and crew around him? Do you feel like they've maxed out what they could get out of him?
Well, I understand what you're asking. And I mean, I don't want to sort of put a lid on things. I know, you know, at least since the, you know, first month of the season, if you will, we haven't seen a whole lot of explosive offense. We haven't seen the high point totals that, you know, for years, this offense could produce, not every week, but you could certainly see plenty of 30 and occasionally 40-point outputs because the Ravens played a style that was difficult to prepare for. It was a little bit outside the norm. And more, you know, teams are taking this kind of approach, and, you know, there aren't Lamars growing on every tree, but their teams obviously have, you know, we watched Jalen Hurts last night, his running ability and throwing ability, and, you know, it's creating a little bit more of a, I don't want to say a blueprint, but at least a framework from which to build off of. So it's not as big a mystery anymore. You know, as for where this team is right now, I mean, you know, you get Dobbins back, you have a healthy Ronnie Stanley, you know, maybe in decent shape at receiver, and it might be a different story. Plus, the schedule is pretty friendly. I know yesterday was supposed to be a win, but you know, until week 18, it's not like there's a whole lot of daunting games that I can see on the schedule. So I'm not ready to say that it's maxed out, but I definitely appreciate, you know, where you're asking that from and for what reasons.
Hey, Eric, which team wins first, the Rams or the Broncos?
Yeah, it's an interesting prop bet right there, right? I mean, I will say that, you know, I didn't get to watch a lot of it, but it did seem like yesterday was a reminder that Sean McVay could still coach. Maybe the Chiefs let him hang around a little longer than you might have expected if you were watching the game or felt like Andy took his foot off the gas a little bit. But, you know, the Rams are in a really tough spot. But I'm not ready to throw a heap of dirt on this club, even with all the injuries, everything they've been through. It's been a pretty miserable post Super Bowl season for them. But I think in the long term, I'm still buying Rams stock, even with everything that's gone wrong this year.
How do you think with now Deshaun Watson coming back, you know, and the Browns winning, you know, yesterday, what do you think happens with the Browns the rest of the year?
Yeah, it's a fascinating question. It's like we've almost kind of put them, you know, they lose four in a row, and then they had, I think, a two-game losing streak. I know there was the big win over the Bengals, but it's not like this team had given us a ton of evidence that they were going to be, you know, thrusting into the playoff mix here or anything like that. But, you know, Jacoby did a really nice job in terms of just kind of settling things down. Again, another not a team that was going to put up explosive point totals, but we have to blame the defense a little bit. And now all of a sudden you're asking Deshaun, who hasn't played since, what, I think a couple of series in the preseason, mm-hmm. that one game, even with a couple of weeks of on-ramp practice, I mean, it's asking a lot for him to come and just step in. Here's an emotional game at the team you used to play against. Fans are going to be, you know, lathered up. They have a reason to be lathered up, even for a bad football team in Houston. followed by the Bengals, you know, possibly the hottest team in the division. That's, boy, I don't know. That's asking a lot. And Deshaun's a special talent. Obviously, there are a lot of people kind of rooting against him, given the way things went the way they went the last couple, you know, the year and a half or whatever. On the one hand, you love to see special talents flourish, but there's a lot going on in Cleveland, even with the big win yesterday, that I don't know that he just steps in and dominates again. It's going to be fascinating to watch him play.
We're talking to Eric Edholm from NFL.com. He joins us via the Ashley Furniture Guest Hotline. It's Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan. And Eric, last night the Packers lose 40-33 out in Philly. We see Jordan Love come in for relief for Aaron Rodgers, who was dealing with a combination of injuries last night. But Jordan Love looked pretty good right now. And yeah, if you're the Packers, what are you doing going forward, especially considering you're now 4-8 and your season is all but over?
Yeah, Aaron, you know, said I'd like to play as long as we're competitive and long as we have a shot. At 4-8, I don't think their odds are great, even right, with the 17-game schedule now. Last night, I mean, they played hard, right? They put all the effort out there trying to salvage their season. A win might have changed the conversation a little bit. It didn't. But when Love stepped in, I mean, there was, you know, even leading up to it when Rodgers ran into the locker room, it wasn't hard for those of us who are old enough to remember 2007 and, you know, that Cowboys game where Favre gets hurt and mm-hmm. Rodgers came in. I mean, who knows? It probably won't play out exactly that way. I mean, Aaron Rodgers has a big cap number next year. You know, you can't cut him. That's just – it's not financially sound to do that. It would be a you know, five or six boat anchors on their cap and would prevent them from winning next year, no matter, you know, whether Jordan Love is a superstar or not. But it at least sets up the idea that one day Jordan Love might be able to be the successor here and follow in this line. And remember, you know, his rookie year was basically wiped out. 2020, he was the number three quarterback. He didn't have any preseason games. So really, you know, you're kind of treating this like a second year, if you will. And, you know, and he's had a star or two, and he's had a few moments to get his feet wet. But last night just looked like a different, more confident version of him, and healthy, certainly, compared to Rodgers. But if there are opportunities to give him chances and starts down the stretch, to give yourself an idea of what might be next and how do we plan for life after Rodgers, I say do it, man. I mean, whatever opportunity you have to get him more time to play and to mesh with those young receivers that he theoretically is going to be working with, I say go for it.
Yeah, what do you got to lose right now? I mean, right, your season's already over. You might as well rock with the young bucks, see what you got. Eric, great stuff, man. Really appreciate you making some time for us today. We will talk to you again down the line.
Thanks, Eric.
Looking forward to it, boys. See
you. Got it.
Vinny and Haney back here on 105.7 The Fan. Coming up next, we'll get back to the Ravens talk. Ravens yesterday, 2-for-5 in the red zone. One of their biggest reasons why they lost 28-27 out in Jacksonville. Coming up next, me and Vinny will look at their red zone woes and try to pinpoint what exactly is going wrong down there. We'll talk about it next here on The Fan.
One day trades.
3 cents a share. That's $3.
You cheap.
And one plays scratch offs.
When we go to gamble, we go to lose.
If they still work here, you can bet they're in the win. Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney back here on 105.7 The Fan. Cordell Woodland in for Bob Steele with Vinny Serrato. Quick Draw McGraw on the board. Take you up until 2 o'clock, where Inside Access will take over. Vinny, Ravens lose yesterday 28-27 to the Jacksonville Jaguars. They scored 9 points in the first half. We could both make the argument that they should at least have probably had 17-21 points.
No
easy
doubt.
In the first half, and in large part due to their red zone woes. 2-for-5 in the red zone, settling for field goals, not catching the ball, not being able to call the right plays, not executing the plays that are called. Combination of a lot of things, Vinny. We know why the red zone issues aren't working, but how do we fix it?
Well, I think they got to, you said it earlier, I think creativity is a big thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a big issue. And the other thing is, they need to get the play in quicker, you know, because down there in the red zone, they seemed hurried all the time, you know, so be more creative, running, throwing, you know, shovel pass, you know, do some more sexy things down there instead of everybody just run out, try to get open, and they can't. I mean, that's, don't ask somebody to do something they can't do.
Right.
And that's what they're doing. They're asking, you know, Prochet and Duvernay, and go get open against these. They can't do it.
I feel like in the red zone, the Ravens get outside of themselves. They make their money, or they all year, all they talk about is how we're not like every other team. They build their roster differently than everybody else. They've got a coach, an offensive coordinator that's going to be very run heavy when they're at their best, be very run heavy when, of course, around the league, it's not as heavy in the run department. But it seems like when they get in the red zone, it's, okay, now let's try to be like everybody else. Let's go five wide. Let's try to throw our way into the end zone. You're not seeing a lot of the runs. You're not seeing a lot of the creativity in the run game that we may see, you know, deeper part in the field. We're not getting as many read options down in the red zone. And I kind of gave them a pass because I felt like Kenyon Drake isn't as great in the mesh point as Gus Edwards is. So I'm like, okay. But once Gus came back, I was expecting it to pick back up. It really didn't.
Yeah, well, the thing is, I don't like when, you know, they roll Lamar. Because Lamar doesn't sit in the pocket. You know, so it's either got to come out quick or he's going to scramble. It's going to be, you know, somebody get open. But, I mean, the first one, you know, they ran one, two, three, four. They ran four plays, all passes. Then in the next one, they got on the 18. Lamar pushed out of bounds for 7 yards, which was a pass, of course, but he ran it. And then Lamar, right guard for minus one.
Well, Gus,
right guard for minus one. Then Lamar incomplete to D-Rob, which should have been a touchdown. And that was a scramble, you know? So, I mean, there's everything's always a scramble, and it's always not what it's supposed to be. It's not on time. Playground. Right. It's all playground stuff.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to scramble around. You guys get open. And that's what it seems to be because, I mean, Lamar, how many times do you see Lamar when he's dropped back, Cordell, where there's nobody around, but he's going to take off and move, you know, slide or step back or do something? I mean, you know, instead of just sitting there and going, okay, one to two, no, he doesn't do that. Or at least he's not doing it right now. And then plus when you're in the red zone, that area, everything happens a lot faster, a lot quicker, and the area is extremely small. That's why it's tough, you know, to complete passes down there because it's a really small area and the windows are really tight.
Vinny, one of the things that really frustrates me is we've talked about it ad nauseum. The creativity in the red zone stinks. Yeah. But also, I feel like they don't break tendency enough in the red zone. We don't see many quarterback draws, many quarterback design runs in the red zone in general by the Ravens, which is kind of surprising for me. We got maybe one yesterday. They didn't get the yardage that they probably wanted, and we didn't see it again. I would like to see them make a concerted effort to get at least one design quarterback run inside the red zone, at least one screen in the red zone, something that is not on tape that you do every time you get into the red zone. Because right now, I feel like I could sit from my couch and I could call the plays that they're going to run right now. They're way too predictable, and they're not good enough at the skill positions to be as predictable as they are right now. You don't have guys that – it's not like the Chiefs where they get into the red zone and it's like, okay, we know they're going to Travis Kelce because this is money time for him, but we still can't stop it. They're not – they don't have guys – even Mark Andrews, you know, isn't that guy right now, and – I want to hold him accountable, but also I'm trying to be understanding because this is a dude that has had to carry too much of the load himself. And I think right now he's just simply beat up.
Yeah. What would you say health-wise? He's 80%, 90%?
I would say somewhere between 75 to 80, considering it's a knee and a shoulder. We're used to seeing Mark Andrews be so strong off the break, so strong running his routes. He's not really getting any separation. He's not really catching the ball over anybody right now. He's, like you said earlier, he's not getting any yardage after the catch. It's not there. He's out there. He's a body, and he's making plays when he can, but he's not all pro Mark Andrews right now.
All right, so the only explosiveness you really have, you know, is Lamar.
Right, basically. And maybe if you want to bank on the occasional blue moon deep ball to DeSean Jackson that maybe you'll get once a week.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's – and I'm sure that Lamar is probably frustrated. It's like, I got to drop back and I got to go scramble and I got to go make – would somebody just get open? Or, you know, it's hard in the red zone when you got Duvernay, Prochet. Who else do they
have? Robinson.
Well, Robinson's got some height, but the other two guys are like tiny, you know, and they're hard. Let me just say, in that red zone, with everything, it's hard to see those guys, mm-hmm. you know, because it's so congested. It's hard to see them, you know, and that's why bigger targets. That's why probably a Charlie Kohler is going to be good down there because he's 6'6". And, you know, they don't have a guy that just throw it up, mm-hmm. you know, and see, you know, instead of throwing away, throw it up, see if he can win. You know, that contested catch.
Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll look around the NFL. Time to feed you some NFL lunch. We'll look around the league as a whole. We talked about the Packers earlier. Are we going to see a new quarterback out there? The Broncos look so bad right now. And the Chiefs continue to look like the Chiefs in the AFC. We'll look at the NFL next here on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.